Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning, DFW. It is Sean and RJ on 105.3 The Fan. And since I'm the first voice today, it means that Sean is out yet again.
Had a long day of protesting.
Yeah,
Needed to sleep. Ooh. Sleep today.
Man. It's a tough day in the Sharif household, but no, he'll be back tomorrow. He's still getting over his sickness, which did sound, because I knew something was up when he had to get up during the college kegger.
Dude, how much has he been sitting here for the last 3 days going and spraying that what is that? Is that like
Vicks? It's Vicks chloroseptic spray.
He's just like down in half a bottle in between questions he's asking Jerry.
He's gotten sick a few times, like quite a bit this year.
This is what happens when you get kids, man. They're like little petri dishes, and they are going to get sick. Every year I can know like clockwork, September or October, sometime in that 2 months, I'm going to get some sort of cold or flu or something that the kids bring back from school.
Yeah.
Like clockwork.
It happens. It does. Then you get like to an age where like you get sick so much that your immunity takes over and like you just don't get sick anymore. Like I haven't got sick in a while, knock on wood. Like I haven't got like sick.
Not since mowing your yard.
Right. Yeah. That's where I lost my voice. But that's really, I think that really was the last time.
Yeah.
I was sick.
Last time I can remember you calling in for it.
That was the spring. But yeah, so he'll be back tomorrow. But we have an injury update on one Dak Prescott.
Yeah, it's not good, Chop. Cowboys quarterback Dak Prescott's initial diagnosis says hamstring tendon partially tore off the bone, which sounds incredibly painful. This is the term they've used for this is the avulsion. Mm-hmm. That's like when Tyron Smith had the avulsion fracture. Where you've got one. You were telling me about this yesterday.
Finger. Yeah.
I had never noticed how crooked your finger was until you showed me. But this is an avulsion, so this is the tendon at the top of the hamstring has basically partially come off of the bone. And so that sounds to me like that's not even 4 weeks, I would think. Is that going to heal in 4 weeks on its own?
I don't know. It doesn't sound like it would. When I broke my finger or dislocated it, it was like an open dislocation, and there was an avulsion with the bone there. That's what they called it, at least. And my finger doesn't straighten out. I could use it. It's fine. It doesn't hurt. There's no pain. But obviously it was compromised. It still is. I got to get surgery on it. Don't know when I'm going to do that.
You just look like you have Brian Baldinger finger, basically.
Right, and this was like 7 or 8 years ago, and now I've got like a growth on the inside that they're going to take out. Because they can't really do anything to fix the finger, right? They're not going to do anything. But I just don't want to do it because it's 2 weeks in a bandage. And, I mean,
that's your right hand. You need that.
It's my left hand.
Oh, your left hand.
It's the unfamiliar one.
Yeah.
So I don't really need it. But I'll probably do it during Christmas. I want to do it.
Is that all right? Have you been thinking about doing it recently?
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to figure out when I want to schedule it. But it's like, do I want to go through? Look, I don't trust surgeries, man. I do not trust. I don't want to get put under. I might never wake up.
Oh yeah, people get a little uptight about the anesthesia.
Yeah,
and that's usually one of the more expensive parts of the surgery too.
Yeah, you're telling me.
Now the Cowboys, David Moore last night from Dallas Morning News said that Dak Prescott's going through the same question right now. Chop. Cowboys quarterback Dak Prescott has a partial avulsion of his right hamstring tendon. A person with knowledge of the injury told the Dallas Morning News, team officials are trying to determine if Prescott needs surgery for the portion of the tendon that has torn from the bone or if it can heal on its own. If surgery is necessary, Prescott's season would end. And here's the thing for me. You knew this. You knew this was the case on Tuesday, that this was what you were looking at. Why did you do anything at the trade deadline then?
Okay, so you know for sure they knew this on Tuesday.
They knew that he might need surgery on Tuesday.
Because that's how this team operates. This team does not... They have a belief you always must get better. That is their philosophical belief. They don't believe that you should ever take a step back, take a step forward. I just don't believe they believe in that.
The step back has already been made for you, though.
Right, but they don't believe that you should just carry on. I don't think. I think they believe, all right, we've already made a step back. Now we have to go forward.
Now, Cooper Rush will be the guy that's starting for you this week, it sounds like. Doesn't sound like there's a whole lot of interest in playing Trey Lance regularly. Trey Lance did speak with the media a little bit yesterday, though. Said that he is prepared if he gets called on. He said, talking about last year arriving, this is the closest he's gotten to meaningful game action since he arrived in the trade from the 49ers. He said last year was probably a whole different story, but having gone through the whole offseason program and this season up to this point, great coaches, great guys around me, I feel prepared if that opportunity does happen at some point. Lance said of Cooper Rush, he said, man, you saw it. I think on Sunday he's made a ton of plays, and I think we didn't make as many plays as we needed to in the game, but I think he came in and gave us an opportunity to win. Talking about the mental aspect of his game and what he's improved, learning from Dak and from Rush and McCarthy, he says, I feel like I'm in a pretty good spot right now, having gone through the whole offseason program, training camp and everything, having a full year and some under my belt. Being around those guys helps a ton. I've learned how to see the game in different ways and how different coaches see it and different guys. I've kind of taken everything I possibly can from the two teams I've played for, and I'm trying to learn as much as I can from it. So isn't this the time, Chop, where you say you spent a fourth-round pick and you've given him all this time to be nurtured and grow? Isn't it time to just see what's there?
Yeah.
Especially when he's about to be a free agent.
If not this week, then at the very least, you know, next week or the week after. But it's got to be in this time. But again, go back to this. Would the Cowboys have done what Green Bay did with Aaron Rodgers when they drafted him when they had Brett Favre?
I don't think so. They would. Maybe?
I don't think they would have. They philosophically, I don't believe in that because it doesn't make them better this year. You okay?
Yeah, I just killed a gnat. Cool. That was on here. I don't know how it got in the studio. Probably Eric's leftover meat bowl or whatever he keeps around here.
That's right. When Manning got hurt in 2011, I truly believe the Cowboys would have made a trade when they realized in camp that he wasn't going to be able to play.
Romo got hurt in 2015, and they said, well, we got to go get Matt Cassel.
Right.
And then when Romo got hurt in 2016, they said, well, we got to go get Mark Sanchez.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's a little more justifiable because that was a team that clearly showed when you put the quarterback in there, they were competitive.
Right, but I mean, like, Indy had, all they did was go to playoff games, win 12, and they just said, all right, you know what, we're just going to let whoever the hell it was, Curtis Painter,
Jim Sorgi,
play, and we're going to get the number one pick, and we'll take Andrew Luck.
Actually,
the Cowboys would not have done either one of those, in my opinion. They philosophically don't believe in ever taking a step back, and that's why they made the trade. They didn't make the trade. It had nothing to do with Dak. They made the trade because I don't believe that they have a philosophy that they can ever take a step back.
Well, they've had to take several steps back this season, whether they wanted to or not, mainly due to injury, or not mainly, but a large part of it. I don't want to say mainly because they've done a lot of things on the football field this year before injuries that were a problem for them. Micah Parsons was limited in practice on Wednesday. He said, you know, my chance is high, but we're just trying to see how the practice week goes, see where the challenges are at, seeing what measures we got to take to see how we want to play this game. Deron Bland, still a DNP. That's starting to become a really weird situation. Because remember when Bland got hurt in August when he had the fracture in his foot, we heard that, Cowboys think 4 to 6 weeks, but they're thinking on the earlier end of that, closer to 4. Pittsburgh was the target game we heard when he initially got hurt, that, hey, we think he'll be back for Pittsburgh. So he misses September. He's back first week of October. We're all the way through October now. We're into November, and he's still not practicing. Like, he's not ready to go at this point. Now, maybe he gets ready. Maybe he's out there practicing today. But he was a complete DNP yesterday. Some of the other injuries that they have on the list, Eric Kendricks did not practice. Zach Martin did not practice. Wanya Thomas, Nick Vigil, they both didn't practice. CeeDee Lamb was available, as was Trayvon Diggs and Tyler Guyton, but they were all limited in practice. And so this war of attrition that tends to come up with injuries in the NFL, this is why you can't have your depth completely picked over like the Cowboys allowed to happen. And then they just said, you know what? We're good. We'll draft and we'll cover it. But the problem is they didn't even have enough draft capital to cover all the losses they had.
They didn't have a choice, though, right?
They did. You can go out there and do something.
No. They didn't have a choice to bring back all those guys on their deck.
No. I don't. Yeah, some of those guys were going to leave. Look, Tony Pollard, they could have offered Tony Pollard the exact same deal, and he was going to tell him no thank you, and he was going to leave. Tony Pollard was ready to leave here. And so some of these, they didn't have a choice in.
How about all the guys who went to Washington?
Depends on which ones you're talking about. I think if they wanted to pay Biotis, he would have stayed. I think some of the other guys like Fowler and Armstrong, who were Dan Quinn guys and enjoyed Dan, they were ready to go. But the issue isn't so much those specific guys leaving. It's that you did nothing to replace them in free agency. You're so just put off.
Yeah, they're put off by it. They are.
So put off by the idea of playing in the free agent waters that you're not even going to sign basic depth. I understand your finances were not great this offseason, or you think they're worse than maybe they actually are. But even with that belief, your finances are not so bad that you couldn't go out there and make the Carl Lawson deal that you made in training camp and all the other guys that you were trying to add throughout training camp and different things like that. That's going to be that's something that you could have done all the way back in the spring and gotten an idea of who these guys are.
Yep. What happens when you're obsessed with names?
Yeah.
When you're obsessed with names, and they're obsessed with their own names. But again, this goes back to they just philosophically don't believe in getting rid of good players.
I've got
like,
a good,
right. You know what I mean? Like they just don't. They don't.
Byron Jones, they did. Obviously, they were willing to walk away from. I'm trying to think what other examples we have. Biotis is not, if you're talking about top tier players, Biotis is not that. Biotis was a good player, though. They were willing to walk
Byron was
that.
Good, but like, I'm talking about
Byron's
like
an all
stars.
Pro.
Yeah, he was.
Byron was a really good corner. But Byron just didn't take the ball away.
He didn't take the ball away. I mean, the fans didn't like him because of that, but
I mean, he was a really good player.
That was an old, outdated take the Cowboys had.
So we're going to dive into more of what's said here. The second half of the quote is what we'll dive into at 9 o'clock. But I wanted to play this for you just to get a good laugh early in this morning, Chop, because we're talking about all these players the Cowboys had to panic sign in August. So yesterday, this week, the Cowboys released Jordan Phillips. Things did not go great there. Gave up a draft pick for him to the New York Giants. But Cowboys ended up releasing Jordan Phillips after that controversial IR stint where Jordan Phillips didn't want to go on there. He re-signed with the Buffalo Bills, who he played with last year. So he was back and back in the building and happy to be there with the Buffalo Bills. And he had a hell of a quote yesterday to Buffalo media.
Most because I'm a quiet taste and they like my taste. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, seeing the smiles and being actually wanted is... It's a hell of a drug. You know what I mean? You can do a lot for people when it's in the right environment.
So that second half of that quote, we're going to have to talk about at 9. Jordan Phillips is clearly telling you Dallas is not the right environment. And that is not the first time we've started to hear some of that from players. But the first half of the quote, goodness. I'm going to start using that. I'm an acquired taste. And boy, they like my taste here.
They like my taste. Wow.
They like my taste.
What, Well, I do want to get into this because I wonder what one of the main is there something we need to read between the lines on in there at all?
Yes, I think there is, and that's why 9 o'clock we'll dive into that and also dive into what we learned yesterday, which is the Cowboys knew they were overpaying for Jonathan Mingo, and they said, okay, we'll still do it anyway. Lots of fun here at the Star in Frisco.
I don't get why they would know they're overpaying for him and are still okay with it.
Well. 9 o'clock.
It just doesn't make any sense. And that's part of the problem. It just doesn't make any sense. What are you need to, if you're going to make moves like this, if you're going to do stuff at the trade deadline, make it make sense.
Yeah. Especially in season. It's got to make sense for you. It can't be what they did.
Right. Because in season buys are panic buys a lot of times.
Yep.
They're just panic buys. Off season buy. And so is the August move when somebody gets hurt. It's panic buy.
Yeah. And you panic buy when the entire offseason you go, we'll probably be fine.
Yeah, we'll be all right. All right, Sean and RJ here on The Fan. How do the Mavs do in a game that nobody can watch? I know, we're kind of getting annoyed with this. And we told you. We told you Jason Kelce was going to get into trouble. And we will get into the net next on 105.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Marshall outside to Luka. This all started when they did get a shot, but it was blocked by Powell. And Powell nails it!
That's Mavs TV with the call.
Who made the three?
Channel 29.
No, who made the three?
Oh, Clay.
Oh, it sounded like Kai.
Yeah, I thought it said that.
That's what I thought it said, too.
But anyway, either way, Mavs 119-99 over the Bulls on Channel 29. Clay with 13 points on 3 of 7. Luka had 27. Najee gets into the starting lineup.
He did. And how much? He made how many threes, Clay Thompson?
A three.
Three? Oh, okay. So it wasn't a few. He didn't make a few threes.
Man, all right, behind the scenes here. Bobby set some cuts. And I said, he goes, I set like three or four cuts. And he said, and Bobby said, there's only two on the sheet. And Peyton said, you said grab a few, then a few is two. And I don't think that's how it works.
I don't think so.
But, you know, I did what I wanted to. And
okay. There we go. Now I appreciate right. that one. I appreciate that one.
I think we know who he voted for on Tuesday.
Oh, man. I spent all day on just going through, watching all the election post-mortem. I spent so much time doing it. So I put it on today.
Oh.
This morning. I can't
just get taking it all in.
I just like to see the post-game reaction to me is so much better than the pre-game reaction.
Which is odd, because you hate Inside the NBA, for instance. You think it's a very overrated program.
Well, because I don't think that they actually even watch the games. So
that's true.
You know.
Plus, sounds like a lot of people.
Plus, I like to see how wrong people. I just think these people. We'll get into it. We'll get into it. But bottom line, stop watching polls. Watch the poly market. That's all you got to do. Follow the money. Follow the money. Vegas guy in me just ignore
the polls.
This is
the degenerate at the end of
watch
the day.
Watch the
this
money.
This is the degenerate. Okay.
Watch the money. But Mavs with a 20-point. Chicago was just unwatchable. Their trade for Alex Caruso in the offseason for Giddy is just one of the worst deals. And that's just the reality of it. That's the reality of where the Bulls are. And the Mavs took advantage of a bad team. And they get set for tomorrow night. Get to watch this one. Finally get to watch this game. It's going to be on ESPN against Phoenix.
Yeah, and what makes the Bulls unwatchable or even more unwatchable is the fact that Lonzo Ball is now going to be out longer than first expected. So Lonzo, again, man, dude, that guy cannot stay healthy at all. All the work that LeVar did, getting him ready, prepping him up, you would think he would have done some sort of work on soft tissue and stretching and other things. But Lonzo continues to just be massively. I enjoyed watching Lonzo play basketball. I don't like that he's never available. I that's a frustrating thing for me as somebody who enjoys watching basketball. I'd like to see Lonzo play more consistently. It's just he's always gotten hurt, and it's not his fault. Like, I'm joking around about LeVar, but it's not his fault. He can't stay healthy.
Right. No, he can't. And that's part of the issue.
You know who else can't stay healthy? Joel Embiid.
Well, he can't. He's also unable to play for the next three games.
Ah, hurt again?
Yeah, no, suspended.
Oh.
Well. Suspended by the NBA. I want to get your take on this one because this is after the altercation that he had with Marcus Hayes, the columnist from Philadelphia, where he pushed him. And most people were on Embiid's side against this reporter who brought up his family, his brother who died in a car accident. And his son, who was named after his brother Arthur, and he brought them up in an article, and Embiid just took issue with the article and went outside and
essentially drew the comparison of, if you play for your brother,
then why aren't you playing?
Then you, boy, you do a really bad job.
Right.
This. Like, essentially saying you do a bad job honoring your dead brother's legacy, which is a line. That's a line that was crossed.
It's something. I'll tell you that. It is something. It's definitely a line.
I think he's lucky it was just a shove in the shoulder, to be honest.
Oh, he could have Rudy Teed him. Like, he really could have. I mean, he could have really knocked him out.
Do we say Rudy Teed him or Kermit Washington to him? Do we call the punchy or the puncher? How we name it?
I think
or
is
just the name recognition?
The name recognition.
Okay, makes sense.
It's the name recognition.
Carry on.
I think now I don't even think half the people know what we're talking about. Do you know what we're talking about?
Kermit? Yeah, he played for the Lakers.
Kermit Washington punched Rudy Tomjanovich and legitimately almost killed the guy on the court.
This is like in the 70s.
It was
though,
a brawl,
right?
Yeah.
It was a big-time brawl.
Yeah, he punched him in the face. And I've heard Rudy Tomjanovich tell the story with Dan Patrick before. Rudy's like, yeah, I legitimately almost died after what happened.
So, like, I mean, he could have absolutely done this to Marcus Hayes. But the NBA suspends Joel Embiid for three games, which I have no problem with. They had to suspend him. You can't put your hands on somebody else. Like, that's just the reality. Even if it's provoked, the NBA, I'm going to rephrase that. The NBA, regardless of whether it's provoked or not, has to basically show that you can't have open season if somebody writes something that you don't like. Regardless of whether it's warranted or not, you can't have one of your players touching a fan or a media member. They just had to do it.
I don't know that they had to. You can find a way around it. Adam Silver's spineless.
He wasn't playing anyway, so what the hell? What's the point?
It'll exactly. He's not playing anyway. This is like the what was the Sam Williams suspension while he's on injured reserve?
Right.
It's like, okay, sure. Yeah. What a punishment. But, I mean, you can't. You need to be prepared. If you're going to invoke something like that, you got to be prepared for whatever's coming on the other side of it. And I'm talking about for this columnist, Marcus Hayes, not for Embiid. And if Adam Silver had any stones whatsoever, he'd be like, you know what? No, not going to do anything about it. Or just he suspended a game with pay. And you know what we'll do? We're going to address this. But you've also become far too aggressive and offensive towards our players, and so we're pulling your credential. You're not getting access anymore because you are a threat to our players. Like, we can't have a risk of another player having this happen because you want to push buttons, so we're taking your credential away. I would be totally fine if they took his credential.
I mean no. You can't. I don't think you can take. You can't take somebody's credential because you don't like what they write.
It's a privilege. It's not just what they write. It's you are actively taunting our players into trying to have confrontations with you. Essentially,
yeah, that's collegiate, man. That's very Lincoln Riley.
I don't think it is. I agreed with the USC's decision to suspend that reporter and there with the Trojans. And I think Lincoln Riley is a heavy-handed D-bag. But they were right. They had set out rules. If you cannot do this, this is part of the media policy. You can't come here. You can't do this. And the guy kept doing it over and over again. And they're like, all right, you're suspended for a little bit because you're not allowed to do this. This is like, to me, if you've got a guy who is actively, Grant Cohn, who we've talked about in San Francisco,
right?
Who's actively pissing off 49ers players and drawing them off sides, trying to essentially, and then talking about on Twitter how that would have been the greatest thing in the world if Javon Kinlaw would have hit me. Because I'd be rich. I'd be able to retire. Right. That's what this guy strikes me as. And to me, the NBA should step in and say, we're taking your credential away because you are essentially an insurance risk for us. And we're not having it. So
Yeah, I just think you start running, you start opening up that box. It's never going to be a good look for an organization. Never going to be a good look.
That's why Silver, if he had any backbone, Silver's the worst commissioner in sports. If Silver had any backbone, he'd stand in there and he'd take it. And he'd just say, nope, this is a call from the league office, getting the credential pulled, and we're not dealing with this. Sorry, tough. You're not going to invoke the name of our players' dead family members for clicks and for this exact interaction that you were asking for.
And Bobby's into censorship.
That's not censorship. That's a privilege to have access to the team like that.
Okay, so it's not a it's only if you...
Is it censorship when somebody gets declined for credentials? That happens all the time.
Well, I mean, is it censorship? Are they with a media outlet?
Repeat that?
Like, are they with a media outlet?
Yeah, I mean, that happens all the time where people get declined while they're with media outlets.
Right, but a lot of that's from like, oh, we don't have enough room in the press box.
No, I don't think
so. The Cowboys would not, the local team would not deny any of us at the station a credential for the locker room. Now, they might for a game because they don't have the room, but.
No, I think every team here in town has.
A limit?
No, just certain people that they wouldn't credential. Whether because of the outlet that they're with or the
I'm saying is like some outlets they don't consider to be real like real outlets. They could be like an individual who's doing a podcast.
Yeah, and look, the NBA has historically been willing to give the most access. They will give access to almost any platform or like no matter how bloggy it is or whatever else. And so they've run into more of this than other leagues, I feel like, have, where they run into confrontations with reporters and things like this.
Well, speaking of confrontations, we saw what happened with Jason Kelce at the Penn State game. That beer he was holding, that he was holding a 12-pack, it was Garage Beer. That's like their brand, right? That's the Kelce brand.
Ah.
And by the way, I just don't, you don't mess with, I don't mess with people with neck tattoos. And if you carry just a 12-pack without a cooler, and you're just drinking that beer warm, man, you're just on a different level. I generally don't mess with you.
Well, you know what they say about if you drink alcohol warm, it like they say a warm beer is twice as strong as a cold beer.
Who says that?
Look it up, because it's one of those things where your body doesn't have to, like, when you drink a cold beer, your body has to kind of like warm it up before it can process it. Where if it's already like room temperature, you drink it and it can just go straight.
Huh. So it acts faster?
Yep. They say, I think they say the rule is generally a warm beer is equivalent to two cold ones, and a beer or an alcoholic drink in the air is the equivalent to two drinks in the air or two drinks on the ground.
So if you're flying?
Yeah. So if you're flying and drinking a warm beer, you just had four beers.
Oh, hell yeah. Peyton. Write that down.
Thanks for your buck.
Write that down right there. Anyway, there, police are, we said it. We said it was going to get in trouble. Police are investigating the incident between Jason Kelce and the heckler who said that his brother is a you-know-what homophobic slur for dating Taylor Swift. And Kelce took his phone, smashed it down, and then repeated it back to him three times. And then he apologized on Monday Night Football. We talked about that, but now police have come out and say they are investigating the incident, and we knew this was not going to go away. He was going to get investigated.
But, I mean, he is. Look, I think the wisest thing we heard this week about that situation was Jason Kelce's just reached a point of fame where even though he's the everyman, he can't just walk out in situations like this.
You can't.
Because of his own fame and Travis's fame, and they're going to people who are going to try. And especially now that they've seen it, you're going to see people who try to, I'm going to get him.
Now, I'm on both, and I'm on Embiid's side, and I'm on Kelce's side here. I think some people need to be smacked.
Sure, people say it about me all the time.
You can't do it. You can't do it. You can't touch him. You can't touch his phone either.
302 says, of you three, I can see Sean Sharif going off like Kelce. Which one of us, and we'll include Peyton, which one of us is most likely to snap in a similar situation? Is it Sean?
Now, Sean wouldn't have done what Kelce did.
Forget the repeating the word back. I mean, just snapping and breaking somebody's phone.
Oh, Sean would definitely. No, Bobby. Bobby, I think, is number one here.
You're Choppy's last. It. Choppy is the one least likely to do this, I feel like.
Choppy would give the guy a hug.
I don't give him a hug.
No, I think Choppy would just be like,
laugh
bro, what's your problem? We're all just out here, you know, enjoy. There's a great game about to be played. What's your deal? You know,
like, I probably would have agreed with him. You know, like not in this situation, but like if someone said something to me, I'd be like, yeah, you're right, man.
Yeah.
Like, right? That's what I would have done.
No doubt about it. I think Peyton, the order would probably go, Sean might break it. I think it's me and Sean. It's close. And then it's Peyton. Then it's Choppy. That's the order I would go.
Yeah, I definitely wouldn't have. I don't care enough.
Yeah.
I don't care enough about anything to fight someone.
And I care far too much about a lot of things that I shouldn't care about.
It's very, very true. Good stuff. Sean and RJ here at 105 through the Fan. All right, it's his last segment of the week. Peyton Russell takes center stage in the payload next.
Okay, am I hearing this right? The morning show is letting Peyton Russell have his own segment?
I just don't get it. We've known Peyton for years. He's horrible on the mic. I mean, gathering the foreigners, this is going to be a train wreck.
Daddy does work, and Peyton just does board hopping.
That is right. It is the payload every Thursday at this time. Like RJ said before the break, my last segment of the week.
Oh, baby. It's really my favorite.
Is it really? You like it? You enjoy it?
I do enjoy it. I don't know if it's my favorite, but I do enjoy it.
Oh, okay. You're right. Chopping it up is his favorite segment. Look, and we got to get right to it. We have an accident taking place in Oregon. Much like California, Oregon, choppy, very bad place.
Very bad place, terrible. Mm-hmm.
So we have I thought there was going to be more there. I really thought. I was waiting for him to keep going, but it's all right. Voting season is over, I guess, you know. What's done
is nobody's
done.
Nobody's trying to make Dawson mad, all right?
Oh, jeez.
That is his place. Look, we have an accident with a cyclist, an Oregon cyclist, where an ambulance was just on duty, doing its due diligence, took a right turn here, hit a cyclist. The cyclist had bruises, scrapes. Let's see here. It was a fracturing of the nose. And now the cyclist is suing the ambulance because they picked the guy up, took him to the hospital, charged him a bill. $1,800 to use the ambulance. Who's in the wrong here? This is fair or foul. So the ambulance, the lights weren't on.
They were not on.
They were not on. It was just driving, took a right turn, ran over the cyclist.
Boy, that's a tough word for you.
If I put an extra cyclist.
Yeah, it's like cyclist.
So if the lights are not on, then you're just part of traffic, in my opinion.
Because I feel like, okay, if the ambulance, you know, runs the guy over, you know, has to take him to the hospital, it should be a comp trip to the hospital, right? He shouldn't be in charge of.
It should be
a
law.
It should be. I don't think. Yeah, I don't know how. I have no idea how ambulances work with that.
But it's not. It's not a law. And a lot of times, insurance companies, I don't think, will cover the ambulance ride. Like, most of them don't. And so that's like or the what's the ER admittance fee? A lot of them don't cover. Where it's like, well, no, we'll cover the actual care, but the admittance fee, that $500 they throw on you or whatever else, we're not going to cover that. And so, yeah, I mean, it sucks. I would expect it, though. Like, I would expect, if this happened to me, I would expect them getting a bill.
And this guy,
I would hate it.
This Oregon cyclist is upset. He has filed a lawsuit close to $1 million, $997,000 lawsuit against the ambulance provider after it scooped him up, drove him to the hospital, and then billed him for his service.
What are his injuries? So you read him again. Broken nose. What else?
Fracturing nose, scrapes, other injuries across the body. Doesn't specify. But fracturing of the nose is the worst. But I can't imagine that. I mean, that's anything cheap once you get to the hospital.
All right, Chop, what are you reasonably suing for here? So you want the $1,800 for the bill.
$1,800 wiped off.
Broken nose, scrapes. So what are we saying there?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, you're talking about suing a city.
Yeah, but I mean, like, let's just reasonably figure out what was cost. The bike was broken. I'm sure it's a lovely bike. And so, I don't know, we'll say it's $250. I have no idea if that's right. I haven't bought a bike.
On a bike? Oh, you can get some good ones, man. You can get some good ones.
I feel like somebody in Portland or whatever would have bought it at like a thrift store.
Maybe.
I'm saying reasonable if you want to sue for $10,000 over your medical bills. I think that's fair. A million, I don't know. Maybe Oregon's cost of living is nuts.
I think it is. You got to go high. You got to go high. If you're going to sue, you got to go high. You can't sue for a couple, you know, you can't sue for 10 grand. The guy ran you over. They're part of traffic. And I hate suing. I hate the whole lawsuit culture.
The whole process of it.
I think you gotta go big here, man. You get a chance to take advantage of the system. Stick it to the man.
So vote on the Fantex 877-881-1053. Frankel injury attorney. Fantex, is it fair or foul? Are you with the Oregon cyclist or biker? I'll just say biker for short. But yeah, I think I got to be on the biker side here. I really do. I mean, if you're
hit. You're hit by
at least give me a discount, man.
Common sense is on the side. The law would like it.
Right.
I would, like I said, I would. I shouldn't have to, but I'm expecting a bill if an ambulance takes me to the ER, even if it was their fault. I'm expecting that.
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, you might
I'd be upset.
The bill is the one thing. You're expecting a bill. That's whatever. I get that. But also, like, somebody ran you over on a bike. Like, you're on a bike, somebody ran you over. Like, you're going to sue them. That's just the reality of it.
Sure.
So for $1 million lawsuit, I'm all in. I'll take the money. Guys,
of course, take the money.
So, you know, last week I had gone off a little bit on the Halloween decorations in my household. Those are away. But now with it being November, it's Christmas time, baby. It's already Christmas time. The Christmas tree's up in my house. It's already up. We have the stockings up. Everything's up. We don't have the lights outside yet. I'm still debating on if I want to do that or not. But inside, it's Christmas time, baby.
Oh, baby.
Is this the holiday, though, that it's like it's valid to be celebrating this early in advance?
Yes, you can do it in September.
So is Christmas and Thanksgiving a holiday season?
Yeah.
Or do they get their own attention? So, like, as soon as we're in the Thanksgiving season, is it okay to do anything Christmas related?
I think so.
I think that's how most people approach it.
Yeah, because to me, if I'm going to spend money on something, like we're getting our lights put up this weekend. If I'm going to spend money on it, I'm going to get my money's worth. And to me, if I wait until after Thanksgiving to put my Christmas lights up, I don't get my money's worth. I enjoy coming home at night or whatever, and the lights are on. I think it's very festive.
And RJ, you have an issue with the lights guy, right? Have we banned this guy?
No, we got a new guy.
New guy.
Yeah, we got a new guy. Luis is the new Tolo Luis. He is he's our guy. I've used him for a couple years now. The previous lights guy, Kevin, he was a real loser.
Colin Kevin.
I name checked him. He was a real loser.
But oh, yeah, that was a power play right there. You identified someone named Kevin who hangs up lights. That narrows it down. Pretty significant.
That's all I know. That's all I knew.
That's how he was able to duck you.
That's how he was able to dodge it, right? Yeah.
And have we already started our Christmas shopping? I know my girlfriend Mackenzie, she's already started shopping. She's already shopping, trying to get the deals early on, you know. And I'm not a fan of trying to go to the mall, you know, anytime in December. That's the worst time to do. Any week in December, you go up to any mall, it's jam-packed.
So I thought about buying something the other day, but I realized, like, I wouldn't have anywhere to put it. Like, because if I'm going to buy something, like, for my kids or for Sarah, like, I want to have – I'll go home and I wrap it immediately and put it under the tree. Mm-hmm. Until there's a tree up, I have nowhere to put it. I can't hide it because you know what's going to happen when I hide it?
It'll be found?
No.
You'll forget
that I bought it. And so, I'll just buy more stuff. I don't know what I buy. Like, the moment the day is over, my memory from that day is gone. Mm-hmm. So if I put something away and I hide it, I just assume I never bought anything. I just don't remember things.
Kristen will buy stuff in, like,
by the way, dementia's hereditary.
Gosh, Kristen will buy stuff in May or June, or she'll buy stuff off Amazon or whatever. Like, if she just sees something, she's like, oh, that'd be good. She'll buy it and then she'll throw it in a closet and like, oh, well, that's for Christmas. I don't know which one of them's getting it, but one of them will get it. Or she just sees a deal. Like, she's so thrifty minded. And that's one of the things that she'll do all the time. She'll buy something and then stash it in a closet for a while. I am the one who will do all of my shopping on the 23rd, probably, is what'll happen. Just because, and it's not, I just want it in my control.
And you go out and about to do your shopping, Bobby. This isn't like, you know, Amazon Prime where you're like getting delivered the next day. You're going out and about to do your shopping.
Well, I mean, and if you order on the 23rd, you're not getting it delivered the next day. Like, what's the cutoff date usually for Amazon before there's like a day, like the 20th, where they'll say,
or 20th or
if you order
like that,
after this date, we can't guarantee it'll get there.
Man,
on
I'll
time.
Tell you, one thing they do great is that you can go pick it up. The Amazon facility.
And some of those drop locations are in weird spots. Like, I know one that's attached to
No, I mean, you could go to the actual warehouse.
Oh, like the fulfillment center or whatever it is. Yeah.
There's just one about a mile from the house, 2 miles from my house. Like, I can go just grab it and get it.
I got to be better. Like, I mean, I just need to be better about when I do my shopping. I tend to get distracted and forget about it and look at other things. But so, like, you're going to have a tree up soon or what?
Oh, the tree's already up. It already has lights on it. Ornaments are up. There's already some gifts underneath there that Mackenzie has wrapped underneath there.
Oh, baby.
So any gifts I get, I'll just throw underneath the tree.
That's too tempting. You can't put the gifts out that far in advance.
They're wrapped, though. I'm fine with it. And they're not all for me. They're like other gifts that we'll take to like parents, grandparents' house, stuff like that. So it's not like they're gifts, you know, for me or anything that are just sitting there. But I don't have a problem with it. Look, if you have a tree, you got to have gifts underneath it.
In my opinion,
it looks better that way. All right, it's the payload every Thursday at this time, 6:40 on a Thursday. We got one last story here before we wrap things up. RJ's favorite generation, Gen Z. They're back at it again.
Oh, yeah, I love them, baby.
You had a story yesterday about them. I have a story today about them. Maybe Bobby tomorrow will have a story about them.
Probably not.
Maybe Sean will.
Maybe.
So, look, we go to the great state of New York. Maybe another bad place,
RJ. Very bad place.
The Big Apple. So, Gen Z is, they're tired of the Aco Taco time in the first dates. Awkward time is what the kids call it, you know.
Wait, hang on a second.
You never heard of Aco Taco?
Nope.
No.
I have a bigger issue with you saying Aco Taco than whatever's about
to
fall.
That's what Gen Z says, man. They call it Aco Taco. they don't say it's awkward. They say it's Aco Taco, man. Just like in baseball, you have Oppo Taco, you know, they call it Aco Taco.
Okay.
Look, with first dates, they're tired of the awkward time, you know, where, like, you don't have enough to talk about, and so you're kind of just looking at each other, or, you know, if you're drinking or eating food, you know, you just start... You know, eating food, drinking, whatever. You're not talking, but, you know, they want to have an activity to do during, you know, your first date, first couple dates here. So they're, while drinking, they're going to have arts and crafts for you to do. Painting, puzzles, stuff like that. Just something that you can interact with. You know, this is something, not crafts or anything, but, like, I've never been afraid of, like, the first date of going, like, Topgolf. Do an activity on your first date where you're actually doing something. Yep. You know, that you have more interaction there. More to talk about, I feel like, when you're actually doing it. It's more fun. More to laugh about instead of just the one-on-one little coffee dates. But, you know, it's me.
That's honestly the reason I'm most happy to be married and not in the dating scene anymore. I hate the first date. Like, gosh, do we have enough to talk about to get through this whole thing?
Oh, you got to create a relationship out of thin air.
But yeah, and it's really just like, wild. And sometimes it clicks, and maybe that's the whole purpose of it, is that you realize, oh, this was easy. But man, that has led to some really awkward, you know, hour sit downs, hour and a half, 2 hour sit downs, or whatever. It's like, I don't know what to say. And so you got to start just looking at other things, or just like, you know, this menu. What's up with this menu, right? Like, I mean, it's laminated. That's weird.
I love the name Aco Taco. Gosh. I love that phrase. And
just tell,
thank
just
you,
bring
Peyton,
up to your kids. Just be like, hey, don't be Aco Taco, man. You know, they'll like kind of look at you.
You have given me something new that I'm going to use. Absolutely.
It's a real thing. I'm not making this
up.
But
I'm with you, man. You got to do something. The first date, like, you want to start doing puzzles and what is it? What's that game?
Craft.
Jenga.
Oh, Jenga.
On a first date.
Jenga's
man.
A great game.
You got to have fun. You got to see what the, you know, they're like. Is the person going to do the puzzle with you, or are they going to be a complete... Can they problem solve? I got to have a problem solver.
Mm.
Right? I want to be with a big problem solver. Or do you not want to be with a problem solver?
I would
maybe
just say,
I don't want to be. Maybe I don't want
to fix
have a
everything.
Problem
you know
yeah.
what? I want to normalize playing Twister on the first date. That's what I want to normalize.
That's weird. That's a weird.
Very strange.
Is it?
Very strange.
RJ, I thought you would be down that's for that.
First date, I would tangle up my body.
I want to put my hands in weird places. come on. Let's go. First date here, huh?
What's the thing say? Oh, left hand butt?
Left.
Okay.
It's Sean and RJ on 105.3 The Fan. KC Mashpee's at Buffalo Wild Wings at Fort Worth tomorrow.
Really?
Off Hewlin, football Friday football feast with the KC Masterpiece. Different Buffalo Wild Wings every single Friday. So that's the one off Hewlin in Fort Worth. Coming up next, Media Watchdog time, boys and girls, on Sean and RJ on 105 through the Fan. The guy who called out Dak Prescott speaks. Southlake Zone, Chase Daniel comes at the Cowboys. We got the Neighborhood Watch. All in the commercial-free expressway coming up next on 105.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.